Have you ever felt outpowered or outnumbered? Ever felt outmanned? Have you ever received news that was bigger than you? News you didn't see coming. Maybe they got a debt given to you that was bigger than you could conquer alone. Maybe the doctor's report was bigger than me, than what I could handle. Maybe that obstacle you're facing right now seems too big for you to handle on your own. These moments in our life can leave us feeling hopeless. I mean, we feel hopeless, like, what am I going to do? So today, as we continue in our Bold Faith series, I want us to look and learn from the life of Gideon. Powerful story. As I was preparing this week, I thought, I don't understand why Netflix, Mel Gibson, somebody needs to do a movie on this story. Incredible story. If you'll lean in today, I promise, it's just an incredible story as you hear how God moved through one weak man and made him a mighty hero. Today, I want you to understand Israel in this time of Gideon's life had turned its back from God and began to allow idol worship to come in. And because they were not only serving God, but they were serving other idols and other gods along with God, God allowed the Midianites, their enemy, to come in. And for 7 years, they had to live under the oppression of the Midianites as they came in and would steal their crops, steal their harvests, which was providing not only income for them, but also their food source. So can you imagine having to hide your food source, stash a little bit somewhere, hoping it wouldn't be found? So when they came and stole all of your crop and harvest away, at least you had enough to get by with you and your family. I mean, they were living, barely getting by, and having all of their abundance stowed out from under them. And God was allowing this to happen because of judgment was coming to the tribe of Israel, coming to Israel, because they had allowed false gods to be worshipped when they knew. I mean, of all the people to allow false gods, the children of Israel knew the power of God. Remember, he delivered them from Pharaoh out of Egypt. Over 1 million crossed over when the sea parted. They seen the plagues. They seen the miracles in the wilderness. They seen God open up and bring down the walls of Jericho. They seen God provide a new promised land for them. So how quickly they were allowing other idols to pop up should have been like the last people to ever do this. So you can understand why God would allow judgment to come in. Our God is full of grace and mercy. Don't get it wrong today. He is a loving God. He is a graceful, mercy God. But he will not allow his people to worship other idols. No idols before him and no idols equal to him. He doesn't want these idols in our life. And he says we are to put no other gods before him. Why? Because he is the way, the truth, the life. There's only one way. It's not God plus, it's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Gideon was no stranger to worry. He was constantly worrying about his crops, how he's going to live, how his family's going to survive, and he was living in fear as most of Israel was during this time. And God came to Gideon while he was hiding in a cave and said, I see something in you that you don't see in yourself. I see something in you. Gideon was weak mentally. Gideon was definitely not brave. But God said to him, Gideon, you mighty man of valor. A mighty warrior is what it translates to. Who God was going to use to deliver his people out of oppression. Let's go to Hebrews 11, 32 through 34. This is kind of like one of the Hall of Fame of faith people right here mentioned, and Gideon's right there in this Hall of Fame. What more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah of David, and Samuel, and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms. Through faith they conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the power of the fire, escaped the edge of the sword. And look what it says, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. We see something happening here that God specializes in weaknesses. God specializes in turning people's weakness into strengths when they allow God to move in their life. God wants to do the same thing and turn your faith from a weak faith to a bold faith. That's why we're spending this whole summer series challenging you, encouraging you, teaching you how to live out this bold faith that you've been given an authority in the power of Jesus' name. You have the power of the Holy Spirit alive in your life. If you will open up your faith, open up your heart and say, God, I want every gift you have for me. God, I want to walk in all of the authority you've given me. Your life will begin to live at a different level and your faith will definitely begin to rise. See, we want to understand it. But Pastor, how is this possible? How is it possible? With you and me, it's not possible. But with God, come on now. All things are possible. One more time. With God, all things are possible. It doesn't seem possible, but God makes the way, and God specializes in taking the weak and making them strengths. See, when we succeed in our greatest strength, what happens? If we succeed in something we're strong in, we're like, well, yeah, that was my strength. Of course, I succeeded. And we tend to lean in and take the credit, don't we? But when we succeed in an area that was our total weakness, what happens? We're like, that wasn't me. I stink in that area. I am very weak in that area. But only God could have done that. And that's exactly what God wants. He loves to take our very weakest strengths and turn them around for good to be powerhouses in the name of the Lord. They became strong in battle is what we just read. Anyone feel like you're in a battle today? You're in good company. Congratulations, God is building your faith. God is building your strength when you let him develop the faith through the valley. When you let him develop the faith through the battle, where our weakness becomes strength, God does his best work when we're in the battle. That's where God develops us. But the battle is temporary. You got to understand that. Remember, we are called to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We're not called to camp out in the valley of the shadow of death. There's nothing wrong with walking through a battle. There's nothing wrong with walking through the hardest times of your life. But remember, the scripture says we walk through it. We don't stay there. And so many people I know have been camped out in their valley. They've been staying in their battle. They've lived their way too long because they've given up. I don't see a way out. I'm too weak to get myself out. But you have got to understand something. If you will allow God to grow you in the battle, through the valley, your strength will get stronger. Your faith will get stronger. And you'll find yourself coming out of the valley and walking in your greatest strength that God has prepared for you and I. He develops Gideon from a coward to a hero, a mighty man of faith. How did this happen? Write this down. Gideon, he found patience in the process. Gideon found patience in the process. We don't like the process. I don't like it. You don't like it. I want to be in shape now. I don't want to wait. I want the debt paid off now. I want to get stronger here now. I want to be better at this now. It's a process. I want to grow now. It's a process. It's a process. We don't like the process. We want it now, but God develops us over time and takes all of us through processes to develop us into the faith that he wants for you and I. He wants all of us to be mighty and understand the spirit that's alive in us. But the problem is kind of like this little kid who wrote this out on their school paper. And he answered the question, who is your hero? He said, Dad, why do you consider this person a hero? Because he's brave. Is there anything your hero is frightened of? Mom. How many know if our kids only understood how scared we were half the time, right? They think we are Superman, Spider-Man, all that wrapped up into one, right? They think that we can do anything, but they only knew on the inside, Mom and Dad are really scared. We don't know how we're going to get it all done. We don't understand how it's all going to work out. Gideon could never imagine himself a hero. Can you imagine hiding in the cave, fearing for your life, and the angel of the Lord shows up and says, Gideon, you mighty hero of the faith. What? Who are you talking about? What? I mean, he's hiding in the cave, the Bible says, and this is where he was threshing the wheat inside the cave. Time out. You may not understand this, but the reason why this is so significant is when you thresh wheat, you did it outside where the wind would separate the bad particles from the good. The good would fall straight down. The bad, the wind would blow it away. And after you got done threshing, you'd have a pile of all the good stuff, the good wheat that you were able to keep and harvest and eat was all right there in front of you. And all the bad had been separated by the wind. Have you ever been in a cave before? You're not gonna find any wind in the cave. So not only was he not very brave, not only was he living in fear, he was kind of dumb, wasn't he, right there? But see, when you live in fear, you do things you wouldn't normally do. When you're scared, you make decisions you know aren't rational. When you live in fear, you do things that are not very smart. Look what Judges 6:12 says. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, Mighty hero, the Lord is with you. Look at this statement. When God looks at you, he sees our destiny, not our history. Someone needs to hear that today. Some of you are walking around carrying your past, carrying your history, carrying your baggage, carrying your hurt, carrying your failure. And when God looks at you in the cave, he says, let that down. I see a mighty man. I see a mighty woman of God with bold faith. I know you're not a hero yet, Gideon, but I see you freeing the people. I see me using you, and you don't even see it yet. You don't even know what's to come. But I see if you will allow me, I will move in your life personally, and it will spill out and help lead the people from oppression. When God looks at us, he sees the greatness inside of us. I tell people all the time, they come in, but Pastor, I used to do this, I used to do that. And I go, great. If I can be honest with you, I just want to be honest with you. If I can be really honest with you, not that I don't care, but I don't. I don't really care about your past. I care about your future. Where are we going? How are we responding? Are you going to be a victim of your past all your life, or are you going to move forward? And we want to help you move forward. We want to see you dream new dreams for your life. We want to see God move in a new powerful way in your life. What are you saying? I believe when I look at you, I see people who are going to break off generational curses. I see people who are breaking off of addiction. I see people who are breaking out of poverty. I see people who are moving beyond their abuse. I see people who are stopping the family chain of godliness and are saying, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Gideon's response to the angel is, angel, I'm from the weakest tribe in all of Israel. And if that's not bad enough, he goes, and my family is the weakest family in the weakest tribe. Wah, wah, wah. Talking about feeling sorry for yourself. Talking about low self-esteem. Yeah, some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. As soon as I say God wants to use you, well, not me. I just want to get into heaven by the edge of my chinny chin chin, my hair of my chinny chin chin, Pastor. And God's got an amazing plan for your life if you'll just begin to let him move in your life. And Gideon's like, all right, God, you say you want to move me, so I just need some signs. I need some signs from you, God. This is really you, because you know how weak my family is. You know how weak my tribe is. And you're saying me, the mighty warrior? So he put his food on a rock, and right when he put his food on the rock shot out big flames and engulfed and consumed his food. He's like, okay. That's a pretty good sign. But just to be sure, it's really you, God. I'm going to lay out this fleece of wool. And tomorrow morning when I get up, I want the whole ground to be full of dew, but the wool that I lay on the ground to be completely dry. He did it. The next morning he got up and the whole ground was completely full of dew and wet. And he picked up the wool and it was completely dry. He was like, okay, that's pretty good, God. But just to be sure, tomorrow, can you do the opposite? You see God like, okay, young man, okay. One more time. And the next morning he gets up and the same thing happens as ever. This time, the ground is completely dry and the piece of wool, the Bible says he could wring out a whole bucket full of water out of that wool. All right, God, I guess what you're saying is really real. I guess you proved your point. I mean, talk about low self-esteem, needing something to happen. See, can I just tell you, our faith, it doesn't grow overnight. Our faith doesn't just grow overnight. But God wants to call you and I out of our cave and call you out of your greatest fear. He calls us out and says, brave man, brave woman, I see you today. There is a spirit of a warrior inside of you. There is a spirit of authority inside of you, as we talked about last week. You've been given power and authority, and I'm calling you to walk in that power and authority I've given you. But God, I used to be addicted. God, my family is horrible. God's like, yeah. So what? Where are we going today? If you will begin to trust me, if you'll begin to walk in my power, I'll change your family's history. See, look at this. Gideon was fearful before he was faithful. So some of you today, you're like, I don't know if I could ever be faithful. If you're fearful today, you're in good company. Gideon was really fearful before he became faithful. And the Bible doesn't sugarcoat it. It tells us right away he was a coward. I mean, he had a coward spirit about him. He was so timid. He had Barney Fife syndrome all over him, always shaking. And God says, I see a warrior. I see a weedum warrior inside of you. I see a great warrior inside of you. I'm telling you, Mel Gibson, if you're watching online today, first of all, I can't wait till that movie comes out about the resurrection. I'm really excited about that. Your next movie, Gideon, I'm telling you right here. It's a great story. Look at Psalms 144, chapter 1. Look, it says this. I'm sorry, chapter 144 and verse 1. Praise the Lord, who is my rock. What does he do? He trains my hands for war and gives my fingers skill for battle. God trains our hands for battle. God trains our hands for war. God takes us through the small battles in our life to build our faith up so that when we face our giants, we know how to fight our battles because he's trained my hands.
how to fight. And my hands don't fight like this, like they did when I was picked on in school. No, my hands are trained to lift up my hands, to lift up my heart. This is how I fight my battles. God be for me. Who can be against me? There are none greater than my God. And every time I worship in my battle, my faith grows, my strength grows, and I unleash the power of God to move. He teaches my hands how to battle, and we are called to lift up holy hands in the sanctuary. We lift up our hands to give him the glory. We lift up our hands in surrender and say, there is no one like our God. May Destiny Church ever, never, ever, ever be a church that sits on their hands. But may we have a house full of worshipers who lift up their hands and say, God, all glory and honor belongs to you. This is how I fight my battles. Number two, God removes these obstacles. See, we see this happening. God removes the obstacles. Have you ever seen a control burn before? I mean, the first time I witnessed a control burn, I was on the phone getting ready to call 911. I thought the field was on fire. Then I found out later it was controlled burn. They were doing this controlled burn because they told me, said, Gene, when you burn off this field, it may look charred right now. But when it gets watered and comes back, it's going to come back greener, fuller, healthier. See, the burn burns off all the unhealthy things that have made their place in the soil. They allow the healthy things to begin to grow again, even bigger, even fuller. I believe today that some of you have been going through a burnout, but you don't realize God is trying to put you through a controlled burn. God is trying to get you to reprioritize your life, and he's burning out some things in our life so that a healthy thing can grow again. It's not a bad thing when God begins to prune. It's not a bad thing when God begins to burn things away. God's setting us up. It's a setup for something better. Judges 6:25, look what he tells Gideon. The same night the Lord said to him, take down the second bull from your father's herd, the one 7 years old. Tear down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole. Both of them were idols right next to it. He says, I want you to cut down what your father has built. Tear down what your father has built. I wish today we had some moms and dads that would tear down some idols in your home. I wish we were brave enough to quit worrying about everybody else's idol and let's get our eyes on our idol. Let's make sure we're keeping God exalted in our home. Let's make sure we haven't allowed other idols to crowd out God. Let's make sure God becomes the one thing that's lifted up in our home. Why? Because look at this. Leadership starts at home. Leadership starts with personal growth, not with public influence. See, before Gideon could lead other people out of oppression, he had to leave his family out first. Oh, yeah, right. See, because I've met too many people, they want to lead everybody else out of oppression, and they pay no attention to their own family or their own personal life. See, before I can lead somebody else out, I got to lead myself out. I got to lead my family out before I can lead this family out. That's what God calls us to do. Can I just ask you today, begin to pray about that. God, what are the idols in my home, in my life? What are the things I'm putting above you? What are the things that are taking more priority than God in my life? I don't know if I have any, Pastor. Oh, you probably have one in your hand right now. How many of us spend more time on our phone than we do with God? All of us. I mean, none of us escaped this message today, is what I'm telling you. How do we do this? How do we get past? How do we tear these idols down? We just give, look at this, give God the first fruits of my life. This is what helps us keep idols in check in our life. This is what helps us keep things from raising above God. The first thoughts of my day are not to my phone. The first thoughts of my day belong to God. The first words should be spoken to the Lord. On my way home from work, the first thought should be, God, thank you for my job. God, thank you that I'm going home to a home. Thank you that I'm going to have dinner tonight. God, I thank you that you've been with me today, even though it's been stressful. I give God more time than I give my casual scrolling on my phone. I give God the first 10% of my income and trusting that he's going to bless the rest. I give God the first day of the week, and I make it a priority. When I'm not on vacation, when I'm not out of town, I'm going to be in the house of the Lord. Why? Because he deserves the first fruits of my life. I have my children involved in the children's ministry. I have my teens involved in the teen ministry. Why? Because we are taking down idols, and I'm doing everything I can to put God first in their life. Gideon removes idols, and God says, gather the army. And Gideon calls out the army of Israel. An amazing 32,000 show up. And God says to him, great, 32,000. But the Midianites have 132,000. You're outnumbered. So Gideon's like, what do you want me to do, God? God says, tell any of them that are scared to go home. And the Bible says that 10,000 men go home right then. See ya, don't want to be ya. I'll go back to the cave. We'll go hide. You guys got this. Thanks for letting us off. Guilt free. All right, God, now what? We're down from 32,000 to 22,000. And God says, all right, that's a good start. But I need the number lower. Gideon says, well, how much lower do you want me to go? And God says, cut the number down to 300. 300, I didn't stutter, 300. They were outnumbered. I'm sure Gideon was doing the math. God, we're outnumbered 440-1. And God says, perfect. That's a great, I like those odds. God's like, I like good odds. I like those odds. That makes no sense to us. Outnumbered 441. God, this is what you want me to do? God says, perfect. See, when God asks for the first fruits in our life, the numbers don't always add up. How am I going to survive if I give God 10% of my income? How am I going to have time to do my favorite sport if I give God 10% of my time? How am I going to have time to hit the lake every weekend if I go to church every Sunday? How am I going to have time? And God says, my math is not your math. When you give to the Lord and do what he says, victory is yours, blessing is yours, and multiplication comes. Because God's math is not our math. Quit trying to figure it out in your head and move with bold faith. It says, God, I'm going to trust you. And God says, perfect. That's what I want you to do. Now look at this. It Judges 7:7. And then the Lord told Gideon, with these 300 men, I will rescue you and give you victory over the Midianites. Send all the others home. He gave them victory. Do you feel that, man, that power today? What did he do then? Then it says that Gideon worshiped before the battle. Gideon worshiped before the battle. Judges 7:15. When Gideon heard the dream of its interpretation, he bowed in worship before the Lord. Then he returned to Israel's camp, and he shouted, get up, for the Lord has given you victory over the Midianites. Gideon went over to spy out the enemy, and he heard the enemy talking about a dream and an interpretation. And the enemy says, I know that the God of Israel is going to defeat us. The enemy was already shaking. Even though there was only 300, he heard the 132,000 were scared of their God. And that's all he needed to hear. All of a sudden, this man who tore down the idols, this man who raised his hands in worship, said, get ready. God is delivering us today. And the 300, look at this, is one of the most incredible stories. I'm just telling you guys, lean in right here. This is so incredible as we get ready to close. 300 men sneak over in the middle of the night to the enemy's camp. He says, I want you to bring your trumpets with you. Light your torches, but put clay pots over your torches so that it keeps them extremely dim. We're going to go. We're not going to say a word. But when I give the sound, I want you to blow the trumpet. And after we blow the trumpet, you're going to break the pots. And then hold up your torch as high as you can and wave them around. So they sneak over there. The enemy's asleep, but God's awake. Hallelujah, right there. And they sneak in, and he gave the word. All of a sudden, boo-boo! These people who were asleep woke up out of a dead sleep. Can you imagine that? Someone blowing a trumpet in your ear in the middle of the night. They woke up out of a dead sleep, and all of a sudden they begin to break the clay pots and hear sounds of 300 pots breaking. And then all of a sudden you're blinded by the light because your eyes are not dilated yet. And they get up in fear, and the enemy started fighting themselves because they were afraid and disoriented. And the children of Israel just sat back and watched them as the enemy killed itself. They all killed itself, and they didn't have to do anything but walk in faith and do what God had commanded. It's a setup today. What are you saying to me today, Pastor? If you feel like you're in a battle, if you feel like you're hiding in the cave, I say, get up, go fight. Because God is fighting our battles. Get up. God is bringing you victory. Get up out of your fear. Get up out of your anxiety. Get up out of your depression. Get up out of your abuse. Get up out of your hurt. God sees more in you. God sees a bold man. God sees a bold woman of faith. In Jesus' name, if you believe that, say amen.